Good morning. What you're going to experience this morning is we're going to hear a lot about New England, but it's also about missions in general, but specifically about New England. And how this came about was last fall, I was in contact with someone who's we've been through some training with on missional type training with, and he began to suggest to us that there's an opportunity to partner with New England, and they were in desperate need of some partnerships up there. And just through some conversations and meeting with some director of missions over the last few months, we have finally got to the point where the three of us were able to go up in May for a vision trip and actually meet some of these pastors. And so basically you're going to hear from us this morning about that trip and the opportunities that will arise for you to be able to participate. We got a video for you right now.
Hello and welcome to Westbrook, Maine. This is near Portland. It's a suburb of Portland. And my name is Joey Marshall, and I'm the pastor at Livingstone Community Church in Standish. But over the course of the last 3 years, we've been doing a lot of work here in Westbrook. There's no Southern Baptist Church here currently, and we're starting to plant a new church, hopefully this next church year. But Westbrook has about 15,000 people. It was a paper mill town right along the river. It was founded by French Canadians who came down to work in the mills, and heavily Catholic. One side of the river was Catholic and the other side was Protestant. And right now we're right here in the park, which is the Protestant side of town, or what was the Protestant side of town. I would say probably only 2 to 3% of the population here in Westbrook know the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so there's great amounts of work to do here in Westbrook. Right now we're in the park, and right behind me you'll see a chapel. And that chapel just represents one of several white chapels that you'll see in Main Street in Westbrook. The unfortunate part is many of those were Bible-believing churches, and many of them, even some of the Bible-believing churches, are closing their doors. Four of the white chapels that you see down Main Street, one has turned into a Hindu temple. The other one was a Universalist church, and now is a teen center. The church behind me is looking to close their doors as well and sell their building. And so what you're seeing is the presence of the Lord in within these congregations drying up. And now where are the people going to turn? They've lost hope. Where are they going to go, and how are they going to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ? And so we've been impacting the community through different ways, means of evangelism. We've been doing prayer walking. We also have done block parties and laundromat ministry, bus ministry. This area, now that the paper mills are drying up, and it hasn't completely closed, but it's has a lot less workers. So now we're finding that there's a lot of rental properties. It's a low income area. A lot of people live day-to-day paychecks or in supplemental government housing. And so there's a great need physically to meet physical needs as well as the spiritual needs in the community of Westbrook here.
So what do we do?
Check. Cool. So what do we do? What do we do as a church? What do we do as individuals? I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1. We're going to just look at one verse, verse 8. It's probably one that you know really well, but we're just going to talk about it this morning as we talk about New England, but also, you know, we kind of want to talk a little bit about here as well. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for today. We thank you for the privilege we have to share about missions, share about a mission opportunity. God, I pray that you move in our hearts today, soften them, so that we may listen to your call, hear your call, and do what you want us to do. God, it is because of you sending your son to die on the cross for us that we have a chance. God, we love you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. There's a couple things I just want to share with you real quick. The first thing that I get out of this verse is salvation gives us the Holy Spirit, which leads us to share the gospel. The moment that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, in that verse, the first part of verse 8 says you will receive power. You have power to share the gospel. A lot of us in this room will probably say, well, I don't feel comfortable sharing the gospel, or I don't know what to say. I mean, there's lots of times when I have had the opportunity to share the gospel and I've been like, I don't know what to say here, God, you know? And honestly, all we have to say is, Jesus saved me. He saved me. He saved you. And then there you can fill in the blank. What did he save you from? What did Christ do for you? That's sharing the gospel. The Holy Spirit gives you power to do that. After salvation, we become the witnesses that Christ is real and that all people need a relationship with the Father through Christ. It's not just by actions, it is by words that we share the gospel. We do, a lot of times, live our lives like we should, but we forget that we often have to speak what Jesus has done in our lives. That verse says, we are the witnesses charged with sharing with our community. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you shared the gospel in our community? When was the last time? When was the last time you shared the gospel at your work? Also says that we are to be witnesses charged with sharing with our region and our country. We have the opportunity to go to New England and share the gospel there. We are witnesses charged with sharing with the world. How do we do that? We are the witnesses. Not just your pastors are not just the witnesses. Your Sunday school teachers are not just the witnesses. It's you. It's you. Sharing the gospel requires a relationship with the Father through Christ. It also requires a passion for the lost. Personal question. Do you have a passion for the lost? Do you see people that need Jesus and walk by those opportunities? It also, sharing the gospel requires a commitment and determination to not give up. We don't have a choice to give up. We don't have a choice to sit in a chair.
That's right.
It's, we committed. We surrendered. We waved our white flag.
Amen.
We share the gospel. We, both as a church and individuals. It also requires a willingness to go. To go. To go beyond these walls. Sharing the gospel takes giving of time, talents, and money. It does. And that's required of us all. Sharing the gospel also takes creativity. And some of us in here might be saying, I am not creative at all. I only draw stick figures. That's not exactly what I'm talking about. It's we have to be able to be flexible when sharing. The gospel never changes. Okay? The truth always stays and continues to be the truth. But our methods can change. And we have to be flexible in how we share the gospel. And we need to be open to that. It also takes an individual effort as well as a team effort. All of us are part of this team. If we are believers in Christ, we are part of that team. You're a part of that family. And we all do this together, which we all like to do. But we also do it as individuals. Even when we're by ourselves. Because that verse says we have who? The Holy Spirit. And the last thing, it takes being open to opportunities. But we also have to follow through with those opportunities. Lots of times we get started on the opportunity, and then somehow we just drop the ball. Other things take priority. Make the commitment to share the gospel, and don't let any obstacle creep in. Today we talk to you about New England. But honestly, it is much more than just New England. It is here as well. Kevin.
Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy did a beautiful job of sharing about the first thing, and that's the command. We are commanded to go. And again, I love what he said at the end. It's not just New England. It's not just about New England. It's about here, Jerusalem, throughout Judea, which we could say is Oklahoma, in Samaria, which is, we could say, is United States, and then to the ends of the earth, Samaria, everywhere. And again, the first thing is the command. We're commanded to go. Again, Acts 1:8, which Jeremy did a great job. You will receive power. Power from who? The Holy Spirit. You will be my witnesses. Again, Jeremy did a beautiful job. Number one, we're commanded to go. And the Great Commission is what? Go. Go make disciples. Go. We have no excuse. We have no excuse. But I want to talk about two things. Number one, we're commanded, but also we're compelled. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says this, Christ's love compels us. There's something inside of us that moves us, that forces us to take those steps to go. Number one, we're commanded. But if we are born again believers in Jesus Christ, we're devoted followers of Christ because something happened inside of us first. We're compelled to go. The love of Christ compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. Now, this passage of Scripture is talking about being ambassadors for Christ. And isn't that perfect for what we're talking about here? Amen? We're ambassadors for Christ. It's not our job. It's our duty. It's our life duty. It is what drives us, what pushes us, what compels us. Because Christ gave his life for us, we cannot help but go. Does it make sense? I mean, there should be something burning and churning within us. Okay, I'm going to go off script. This is what I'm getting. Get me? I mean, are we that dead? No, I'm serious. Are we that dead? I'm about to cry. And you're going to go, cry, baby. Are we that dead? Christ died for you. Are you that dead? The love of Christ should erupt out of us that we cannot help it. Because we are convinced that one died for all. Bring up that first picture on the slide. This is First Baptist Church in Kittery. Pastor Matt Glad, real easy to remember. Matt, he's a lot younger than this one. And he's glad that he's a lot younger than this one. That's how I remember him. That's honest. I'm just being upfront. I'm just being honest. He is the pastor of this church up in Maine from Ponca City, Oklahoma. And he is a graduate of OBU, so I can remember him. And he is lonely. And he is lonely because he is in this church, which has a handful of people that when we were there, just, I think it was even, what, a month before, told him to stop preaching about Jesus Christ. And they told him to stop preaching about Jesus Christ because they wanted to hear sermons about how to have good kids, how to have success in their business, how to have good lives. Also, Matt has been there 3 years. Since 1611, he's been there 3 years. Since 1611, he's one of the longest tenured pastors at that church. Does that tell you anything? They still refer to him as the new pastor. So I don't know if he lives out of a suitcase or not, but I don't think he's made permanent roots yet. And they told him to stop preaching about Jesus. He's lonely. He's lonely. I emailed him this morning to tell him that we'd be talking about his church and that we would pray for him today. And just before I walked in, I got a message from him saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, brother. Love you. He's lonely. The love of Christ compelled us as we stood in his church to, before we left, to gather around him, put arms on him and pray for him because he's lonely. The other thing that struck me, being a history major when I was in college for like the first 20 years, another thing that compelled me was, this is our history, folks. In the 1600s, this is where Baptists started. By the way, we were the rebels, and the Church of England kept trying to kill, like, Roger Williams, you can tell where my head is. Trailers for sale or rent. So anyway, Roger Williams, who started the Baptist movement, Church of England kept trying to kill him, and he kept hiding out and starting churches. And now we're a dirty word up there, and there's no movements. There's no movement of God in evangelical work. And our brother Matt Glad is up there just lonely. And he wants partnerships. He doesn't want Southerners, that's what they call us. Matt will talk a little bit more of that. They don't want us coming in and doing a one-time mission trip, coming up trying to tell y'all how to do church up here. They don't want us coming there. They want, even more than that, another pastor named Travis told us, we want friendships. We want years of coming more than once, of coming and joining with us and being friends, partners. And that's what Pastor Matt Glad wants. For the music people, praise team and all that, Pastor Matt gets there early, very early, especially in winter, to turn on the heat, walk through the whole building, turn all the lights on. Because, see, he has one Sunday school teacher who also is his deacon. He's there part-time because in winter he's out. So they don't have Sunday school when Sunday school teacher's not there. Also, they have no musicians. None. So he gets an iPad, puts it in, and hits it. And what we gathered was, it's not real good. Go to the next slide. This is the church you saw in the video, minus the snow. And I didn't get a picture of the park, but this was on a Wednesday, and the park was full of people, different ethnic groups, different, just even in the same ethnic group, just tons of diversity. We saw skaters, we saw families. Wednesday, full of people. We saw skaters, and across the street's a business district with a New Age shop. There was a Hindu, Hindu gift shop. Crazy. I mean, we saw everything. Everything you can imagine was on this street corner across the street. The park was full. Amazing. As the pastor said in the video, this church is for sale. The church did disband. And before it went on to the realtor, Brother Keith Lawrence, the director of missions of Maine, said if he had $25,000, he could have bought it. The three of us and Brother Keith were foaming at the mouth thinking, how can we get, at that time now, $50,000 to buy this church, because we don't know if the church is sold or not. That church more than likely would become some kind of Hindu temple, some kind of shrine, some kind of mystic healing temple. If a Christian organization does not buy it, that is what is going to happen. So a presence of evil can now be in this town across the street now. And literally, we were foaming at the mouth. Come on, how can we get money? How can we pull money out and buy this place? And Brother Keith, the director of missions, is like, I want this building for the name of Jesus. When it was a Christian chapel, they did a clothes closet, a food closet. They did all kinds of ministry out of this chapel, just real gut-level, street-level ministry. Now, it's as far as we know, it's still for sale. And chances are, Keith said, chances are it will become some kind of darkness ministry, darkness place. And we were just, oh, and we're standing, go to the next slide. We were standing facing out to the park, just looking at families and diversity and skaters and just foaming at the mouth going, Lord, this is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath apartment that's hooked to the church, where we're thinking, plant a missionary there and have an impact in this town of Westbrook. And it's just amazing. I wish every one of you could have been there with us as we're just going, oh, Lord, but we also know God is sovereign, amen? We know and we're praying, still praying for this piece of property. You see what's going on? Christ is what? Compelling us. Lord, help us. The vision is there. It's, as Matt's going to talk to you about, it's the how-tos. It's the nut and bolts of what do we do? Yes, there's other things going on here. In our missions community, we have so many different mission opportunities that at any time you guys can jump in and get involved. It's our poor communication of what's going on in our church, what's going on in Oklahoma and around, but this is what's on our heart right now. We need to encourage Pastor Matt, and we need to encourage a way to get missionaries, maybe from right here in our church, somebody in this place, to do true, real, live, gut-level mission to see New England won back for Jesus Christ. So, the love of Christ compels us. We're compelled. The last thing, and this is the tough one, we're blessed. Amen? Look around. I wish they could have been inside that one church we went to that was death trap. I mean, I don't remember what year that one church was. The 1600s. But you're walking in, and I had to go sideways and suck my gut in to get down the hallway. It's just old. I guess people were little back then. I don't know. Maybe they had no food. I don't know. Turkeys weren't enough. I don't know. But the buildings are in, and they're losing the buildings. We got one church we visited, they're building a brand new building. But we're blessed. Look at this. We're blessed beyond belief. The Word of God says in Luke 12:48, someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. But when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. You've heard the saying, to much has been given, much is required. Anybody heard that passage? We throw that around a lot, but sometimes we misquoted that. That is talking about a master-slave relationship. When a master has told a slave to do something and the slave doesn't do it, the term is the master has been so great to the slave and blessed the slave so much that when the master says, I need you to do this, the slave doesn't do it, the master says, okay, there's trouble coming. We have been commanded to go. And we even have a compulsion that the world needs Jesus, our neighbors need Jesus, and we haven't done anything. To much has been given, much is required. Let me ask you this. Has Christ given you much? Just answer. Yeah, I think so. Do we have much even in our church as far as great facilities, great people? Have we been given much? Pastor Scott preached a sermon about poor versus rich, and would you agree, according to the world, do we not have much even financially? Would you agree? They don't. Now, I know they're not a third world country, but Pastor Matt, one part-time deacon/Sunday school teacher. He needs help. The churches that we've been in, and there's so, man, I thought about this. There's so many things that we saw that we can't talk about. We just don't have time of the things we've seen. They don't have this. They don't have encouragement. Even praying for them, praying for the churches we saw and the people we saw. We are so, so blessed. They don't have that. Matt's going to come up, and I have one more verse to read, but Matt's going to come up and share with you the nuts and bolts of what we have in mind for New England. Why New England? But let me read this. Ecclesiastes says this, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. And if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can help keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. For those that God lays New England on your heart, you can be part of that three braided cord or four, five, six, seven, 20 braided cord to see the gospel reach New England and in turn help reach Owosso, Oklahoma. Man.
Thanks, Kevin. What's been interesting about this is on Tuesday is our staff meetings, and at near the end, I said, I've got one more thing I want to talk about. We had this trip to New England, and I want to set a date where we can actually approach the congregation, probably a Sunday evening or some night during the week, something like that. And I'd like to do it sometime this summer because I want to get these things, get the ball rolling on this. And Scott, we were all looking at the calendar, and Kevin said, well, I'm supposed to be preaching a sermon this Sunday. Why don't we just do this on Sunday? And Scott said, well, that's fine with me. I'm being on vacation. And so really the first time we even had a chance to talk about it was Thursday, and kind of where we came up with this format here. And so on that, right after staff meeting, we were supposed to meet with Keith Davis from First Baptist Owosso and kind of just pick his brain about how they do missions. He's their missions pastor over there, and how they do missions. And he kept throwing this term, here, there, and everywhere, which is Acts 1:8. And what I want to share with you is this. We're going to be talking about New England and the nuts and bolts, as Kevin was saying there. But understand this. Any mission endeavor that we're going to take here at Central is still going to be based on this APEPT that I'm going to talk about here in just a second. And the other thing I want to share with you is this, too. We're talking about New England, but Scott has always encouraged us to have a ministry and a mission. If you're part of this church, be willing to ask God, be in prayer. You know, what are your gifts? What are your talents? What has God given to you? And then how can you use that for his kingdom? How can you use that for his glory? So just because we're talking about New England, I don't want to guilt anybody into, well, there's such a need, there's darkness, we need more people there. And then all of a sudden you think, well, maybe I should be doing that instead of this. No. Here, there, and everywhere. But that's the key. Don't be on the background. Don't be just sitting and watching, observing. Be participating. How can God use you here, there, and everywhere? And what I want to share with you right now is a little bit of how we model and how we create the teams that are going out and doing this. If you'll pull up the first slide, Ephesians 4:11 through 12, you've heard me talk a lot about APEP, maybe from the pulpit or maybe in meetings and things like that, but it's based off of Ephesians 4:11 through 12. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors, and the teachers. And the responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And as we have been, our staff has gone through training with different individuals on this, we don't look at that as any like spiritual gifts in the sense that it's how he has given to the church individuals that are wired, who think missionally in these five different areas. It's not a spiritual gift, but it's just how you are wired. And some people are wired to be apostles, some are wired to be prophets, some are be evangelists, some are be pastors, and some are teachers. It's not positions, it's not offices, but it's just how you think missionally. And what we've decided to do at Central Baptist Church is to use this process of what we call an APEP survey. And if you'll go to the next slide, it's actually on our website. It's in the bottom left-hand corner down there. You click on that, and there's a 20-question survey. It kind of asks you, what are you most like, what are you least like? So you're kind of answering 40 different things. But there's 20 different questions on there. And what it does, it comes back with a report showing you how you are been or how you are wired missionally. If you're wired like an apostle, what you're doing is you're out there wanting to create new venues in order to get the gospel out there. You're not so inwardly thinking within a church four walls like this, but you're thinking, what could we do? How could we go out there to share the gospel? Apartment complex, maybe it's a different venue, maybe it's an affinity group, maybe it's a people group, but that's how you think. You're thinking like an apostle. And if you're an evangelist, you're thinking, how can I share the gospel in that environment? We have an APEP team, or what we call a missional response team, for our skate church. And what they're doing is they looked at the venue. Do we do it here? Do we go to the skate park? How do we share the gospel with skaters? After they become believers, how do we disciple them? And that's what the pastors do. And then the other P on there is the prophets. They're the examiners. They're the ones that are kind of looking at the whole big picture and determine, are we going in the right direction? Here's some good things. Here's some barriers. Here's some opportunities. And then the T on there is a teacher. That's not a teacher in the sense of teaching, you know, like Sunday school. That is a person is looking at taking a maturing Christian within that group and recycling them back, training them to go out and reach more. And that's kind of where we are with the New England area. After talking with the different DOMs and the different pastors up there, and Kevin alluded to this, the last thing they're wanting is some church from down south coming who runs thousands in their congregation to come up here to a little old church up there and try to tell them how to do church in 1 week, and then they leave out because we're such experts on it because we got a church on every corner. That's not what they're wanting. They're looking for a long-term relationship and helping them create the indigenous spiritual leaders within their area that live there so they can go out and reach more people in the New England area. And that's what I'm excited about in this endeavor and what we're going to do. And so we're going to be using the APEP model in order to do this New England thing. But at the same time, my prayer for you is to be asking God, where do you want me involved? And which mission response team do you want me to be on so we can reach the gospel for the people here, there, and everywhere. And so I'd encourage you to do that. And so here are some of our different opportunities that we have to reach out there. After talking with Raphael, who is one of the DOMs, he's actually out of the Rhode Island area, and then Keith Lawrence out of the Maine area, they're really needing more hands and feet on the ground. But there's other specific needs. One thing is a lot of prayer. They just need a lot of prayer. Because you got to understand, in Rhode Island, which is about 1.2 million people, second most densely populated in the area in the United States, they only are somewhere between 2-3% evangelized. There's only 23 Southern Baptist churches in Rhode Island. You think, well, maybe only Southern Baptist, but what other type of churches are there? And there are some other churches up there. There's some Catholic churches. There are a lot of liberal churches up there. And after talking to one of the pastors, I believe it was the Kittery in Maine, when he was going through his ordination, he was being asked some very basic questions about doctrine that all of us would go know the answer to. And he was giving the right answer. And the people that were questioning him going, really, you believe that? And he's like, yeah, let me show you in God's word what it says, you know. And so even in some of these churches, they're needing some men and women who have the knowledge of God's word to be able to share with them. So they need a lot of prayer up there. And so that is one of the definite things that we're looking for. Prayer for more bivocational pastors, prayer for more indigenous leaders to rise up and come through the area, prayer that people outside the New England area will hear the calling and be called to go up in that area. There may be someone within, even in this congregation, that God may be tugging on your heart to say, you know, I'm in a place and time in my life where I could go up there and be one of those up there. One of the other things that we're looking at too, especially in the Rhode Island area, and we went through in the Hamptons, real estate's real expensive. So to be able to buy land and build a church is almost impossible. And so one of the things that we're talking about doing is taking the 23, well, just a few. It'd be nice if we get all 23, but the few existing Southern Baptist churches that are on board with this and using them as a training center. If you do a study on Antioch, the Church of Antioch, which we read in the Bible and we think how powerful that was, well, if you do a study on that and watch over the 400 years of the life of Antioch, it was nothing but a training center. People were going through there being trained as pastors and being sent out all over the world. And that is documented on that. And so what we're looking at doing is starting with Raphael's church and a few others and turning it into training centers. We were talking about maybe pouring concrete pads and bringing in FEMA trailers. And so missionaries would have a place to stay up there for free and to stay on the church and then be trained there at his church in order to be pastors, not to start another church and buy land and build a building, but just look at venues to be able to reach people for Christ. And that's what our missional response team would be doing here. Because so one of the things that we'll be doing is creating teams here to meet with their team in order to look at how these trained pastors, what venues they could go out and reach people for Christ for. And so we're looking at them as training centers. Raphael is also doing this. NAM has a program right now where a pastor can go up there and be fully funded through North American Mission Board for 3 years. But after 3 years, you're on your own. And what he is seeing, Raphael, the DOM in Rhode Island, what he's seeing is this pastor comes in, he's from Georgia or Alabama, and he's come up here, he's all excited to start a church, and he gets a little congregation going in the first year, but maybe it's running, 20 or maybe 30 people at the most at all, but not enough to support him financially. So he gets in the second year, and he's really out there trying to build up his finances, and by the time the third year gets around, he realizes he's going to have to go find a job if he's going to stay up there. And a lot of them going, no, I really feel called to full-time ministry to be a full-time pastor. So they send their resume out to find another job. And then after the third year, they're gone. And then that here's this church that they just started, and the congregation's left there, and they're like, who's going to lead them? And to get someone to fill pulpit supply, guys, we can get on the phone and get someone behind this pulpit tomorrow. That's not the way it is there. And so what Raphael is doing, he's taking the existing deacons in there and he's training them to be interim pastors. And so he said, be in prayer for that too. And how can we be involved in helping train their deacons to step in so when these full-time pastors that leave because the funding runs out, then that church can continue on by that happening. We need some people who can do construction because some of these training centers, like Kevin was saying, these churches, some of them are fairly old, and they just need some work done on it and also some new things to come in so they can be a training center. So we definitely need some people to come in with construction skills. There's a huge Hispanic population up in that area. Matter of fact, there are several Hispanic churches, and one of the people that we've already talked to, Ed DeCampo, he's looking at how he can come in and help and do that. And so there's going to be some things on translating the APEPT and some different things into Spanish and doing that kind of work. So if you're even thinking about being called and maybe working with Hispanics, that might be something to think about. ESL, I asked them about that, and they said, yeah, English as a second language would be huge up in some of those areas, especially in the Westbrook area, as you heard that pastor talking about the different groups that are live there. So ESL would be great. And as Kevin said this too, there's funding. And so we realize this. This is the neat and exciting thing about this. We're on the ground floor of this endeavor. You know, a lot of times what we tend to do is we do a mission trip here and we go for a week here or go to Mexico or go whatever, and we may go back again a year from now, and then after 3 years it kind of dies out. We're not looking to do this. Our missions committee is committed to a five-year commitment to the New England area. And to be honest with you, I think it's going to need to be more than five. It needs to be like a 10-year commitment. But our missions committee has said for 5 years for sure we're going to commit to this. So we're on the ground floor of this thing. And what I'm excited about is this. If on our own, if we try to do anything on our own, we're going to see man-sized results. What I'm excited about is whatever team that we gather here, as we begin to go through here, God's going to get the glory. Because this is bigger than us. We're talking Rhode Island, which takes an hour to drive to one end of the state to the other. 1.2 million people, less than 3% of them is evangelized. And it's like Paul walking in and going, I've been charged to do what? I can't do this on my own. Amen. But when he walks in and he sees that statue of the unknown God, he goes, yeah, here's an open door. Hey, what's this statue about? Well, can I share what I believe? I believe there's those kind of opportunities, and God gets the glory through that the whole time. And so I'm excited about being on the ground floor, helping these pastors right now, or maybe, it's 1249 there. There's been pastors throughout the area who've just had church, and they feel so alone because there's so many people, and there's so much lostness, but they just feel there's so few of them. When I was talking to Keith Lawrence in Maine, he told me, he said, Matt, I don't want your money. He said, the last thing I need is some big old church coming up from the south and trying to give me money, because we are a welfare state in Maine. We're kind of known for that. He said, our loggers can only log when the ground is frozen or dry, and if it's not that way, they're out doing something. He said, some of these people have five jobs. Some of them are government assistants. He said, we've learned to kind of live that way. He said, the last thing I need is a big infusion of money coming from big church, and then you guys leave, and then I became dependent upon that money. He said, I want to reach Maine using the resources of God with what we have here. He said, but what we do need, as Kevin said, is some friends. What we do need is hands and feet on the ground. What we do need is people who care and have a burden for lost people, because we feel so outnumbered up here. Amen. Here's our invitation this morning. In your worship bulletin, there was one of these sheets. And if you didn't get a worship bulletin, we have some blank ones up here. The last thing I want to do is guilt anyone to be a part of this New England area. I want you to be in prayer as God has pushed time and time again through our three C's, center, connected, committed. What are you committed to? What ministry are you committed to? What missions are you committed to? If you feel in any way during what we've just shared with you that perhaps New England might be something that you want to be a part of, you have some choices on there. One's prayer. And it's at top for a reason, because we need to start with prayer. We have a tendency just to launch out there and do our own thing. We need to begin with prayer and ask God how he's going to do this so God gets the glory. So if that's something you think you'd be willing to do, is to pray as you see different categories on there, praying for the pastors, praying for other churches in the association, praying for other churches in the United States to be a part of this endeavor, just mark that. Next one you see is, it says missional response team. It's the one be similar like we created for Skate Church. It'll be a group of people made up of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers after you take the APEP survey. And we'll create these teams, and these teams may never leave Central Baptist Church. But what they'll be doing is in communication with other lay leaders, bivocational leaders, and full-time leaders in that area, working with them, trying to create venues, coming up with different ways in which we can go out and reach and the lost people with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And this team will also be the conduit of supplying information to the missions team and to the congregation of how that work is going. Also supplying information to other churches in the association, trying to get them on board too. This missional response team will kind of be the headquarters of everything that's coming out of Central Baptist Church dealing with New England. And we need some people who'd be willing to be a part of that. And last on there, or it's not the last one, but it's the third one. We're going to need some people who just said, you know, I'm willing to leave here to go there. Sacrifice my time. Sacrifice some money. Sacrifice a little bit of myself for the cause of Christ. God's mission has never changed. Go back to Genesis. When he talked to Abraham and said, leave here and go there. I'm sending you to a promised land. Missions started. God is a missional God. And from day one, his mission is to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It was no different back in the Old Testament. It was just before Christ. We are still on mission with God. And if you feel like any of those areas, and the last one you saw in there was APEP, but any of those areas, whether it's praying, whether it's being on the mission response team, whether I'm willing to go, if you'll mark that, you'll have an opportunity here in just a minute to bring those up here and just lay them up here on the altar. Here's the other thing. I want you to pray about this. I'm not trying to get a rushed answer out of you. If you need to go back and pray about this, then I encourage you to do it. You can turn those forms in later. We're going to have another meeting that's more informal. You can bring it then. You can email me. You can text me. You can call me, any of us. Contact the missions committee and say, I want to be a part of this. But this is the ground floor. This is the beginning. And with whatever papers that come in, this is where we're going to start. I'm trusting God that whoever turns in their papers today and between now and the next meeting, then that's the team that we'll start with, however big or however small, and launch from there. I'm going to pray, and then after I finish praying, Rhonda's going to play for just a couple minutes. If you want to mark anything on there and just bring it up here. We got some blank ones up here in case you don't have a worship bulletin. You're going to see some already ones filled out that's turned over. Leave those there, but just lay it up here on the altar. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for being on mission and loving us so much that you sent your son to die on the cross for our sins. Heavenly Father, and it's through your love, Heavenly Father, that, and as Kevin was talking about, that we are so compelled because of your love for us and sending your son to pay for our sins, the only sacrifices through Jesus Christ. Then through obedience and our love for you, we're going to obey your command to go. And Heavenly Father, I pray right now that whether it's individuals going to New England or they're staying here, or they're going around the world, Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll work in the hearts and give, like Kevin said, a burden. We need to have a burden for the lost again, Heavenly Father. And Lord, know that we cannot do this on our own. This is so big, this is so huge, that we can't do this on our own. We want to see God-sized results, and we humbly bow before you. We humbly kneel before you, Heavenly Father, letting you know we can't do this on our own. So, Lord, I give this invitation over to you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll come on up, we're going to take the offering.